T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
H-Town boys, kicking it with my boy Luke.
A very good Wednesday afternoon here to everybody out there. Welcome to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens here, sitting in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder. Hope everybody's doing well. We got Alex Salon on the other side of the glass, and we got a ton to get into today between now and 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 20 minutes or less than that, Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com is going to join us to talk everything NBA. We also have Ben Golliver will join us in the 4 o'clock hour, as well as this is the time right now where the NBA action is heating up. And it's weird when we say that, Channing. It's great to see you, by the way. But it's weird we say that considering the actual play on the court just concluded less than a week ago, and now everybody's all excited about all the possibilities in free agency.
I was listening to you and Beasley last night on the way home, and Beasley was joking where I don't watch the season. I like the offseason better.
Right.
NBA has maximized their year-round coverage, and it makes it so great for us. But what these players are doing, where the NBA is going, you need it. You have to have it. You never know what's going to happen in the NBA.
You don't. And I almost felt bad for the Toronto Raptors because it was less than 48 hours after they'd won the NBA championship, which is what all of this hype and hoopla is about, is to try to win an NBA championship. They actually achieved that. And then less than 48 hours later, everybody's like, oh, that's great. Anthony Davis is traded to the Lakers, right? Like, we're on to the next thing. Like, just like that.
And even on the team. Oh, Toronto won. Is Kawhi going to stay?
Right.
Is what's going to happen with him? What's going to happen with him? What, how are they going to compete next year? It's the beauty of sports. It's the beauty of basketball, football. They try to do it with the draft, but I think basketball has maximized the entire 12-month calendar.
They certainly have, and I think part of it is because the player mobility and player movement is so prevalent, and the power that the players have and they're taking advantage of. In the NFL, there's really like the quarterbacks who have some power, and everybody else is just kind of a pawn in the game. And you're right. I mean, you can speak to this, right? I mean, you've been through it. You've experienced it. It's like, you know, most other players, other than a franchise quarterback, you just have to deal with knowing that they look at you as a commodity. And the moment that you start breaking down or you get to a certain age or you cost too much, they're like, okay, on to the next one.
Yeah. And then Matt LaFleur is going through that right now, where he came into Packers thinking he's the big man. Aaron Rodgers is going to make checks. It's Aaron Rodgers, and Matt LaFleur got to adjust to that. So, yes, you're right. In the NFL, the quarterbacks can play the game. Us other players, plug and play.
Yeah.
Plug and play. When Zach Thomas left, they put my ass where Zach Thomas was. Everybody said, are you replacing Zach? Please don't say I'm replacing Zach. I'm just now playing the middle linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. Don't put that pressure on me, but that's the way it rolls over at every other position. That's how the league is. The NBA, you're a star, an all-star, superstar. You make the NBA. You make every single team that's out there. That's what people want. They said the jersey is what makes it. The emblem on the side of the helmet in the NFL is bigger. In the NBA, it's the name on the back of the jersey. And if you don't accept that, you're being irrational. You're being naive.
Correct. And the players have certainly not only accepted it, I think they've embraced it now. And, you know, not everybody can force their way out of town. Like, I heard you guys yesterday as I was coming in to do the show, and you hear the Hassan Whiteside potential forcing a trade rumor, and it was met with laughter, right? So, you know, there's different tiers of players. Like, an Anthony Davis wants out. He's good enough that, okay, that's likely going to happen. You know, certain players will try to flex their muscle, whether the reports are true or not, and you're like, oh, okay, well, he doesn't have quite that gravitas that a top 10 player does, that's for sure.
I'm a coach now. I call them to go sit down, guys. There's some guys, you know, hey, somebody asks a question, you answer him, you try to, you know, elaborate on his understanding, and certain kids come up, you tell them, okay, just go sit down for a little bit. I'll talk to you later. There's some sit-down guy. Hassan Whiteside, I don't care if Heat fans don't want to hear it. He's a go-sit-down guy. The man is not an integral part of the team. Bam and Kelly are in front of him. Mm-hmm. What are you going to force? You're not going to force anybody's hand. You better take this $29 million, and hopefully the Heat can do something with this contract because he's going to play 20 minutes a game next year if he stays on the team.
Certainly seems that way. And over the course of the show, we'll talk more about the Hassan Whiteside situation as we've gotten more information about that overnight, to be sure. But, you know, it's kind of like as the world turns, as the NBA turns, the latest today, because you know, it kind of felt like yesterday we were maxed out in terms of NBA soap opera drama with the Chris Paul conversation and the Houston Rockets, and then Al Horford deciding he's going to leave the Celtics, essentially, which I want to get your thoughts on. But then, you know, of course, just a couple of hours ago, before we're getting ready to come in here and do the show, Adrian Wojnarowski drops another bomb on everybody and lets you know that Mike Conley's been traded to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, and Jay Crowder, the 23rd pick in tomorrow night's draft, and a future first-round pick. The Jazz are going to send a protected 2020 first-round pick to the Grizzlies, and that pick will either be a late lottery pick in 2020 or 2021, or become a lightly protected pick from the 22 to 24 range. So that's way up in the air when it comes to the future compensation. But bottom line is they've now maneuvered a way where Mike Conley's not going to be in the way of Ja Morant, who's going to be the number two overall pick tomorrow for the Memphis Grizzlies. So this makes sense on that front. The Utah Jazz get Mike Conley, and this feels like it's all part of the bigger conversation that we're having in light of Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson going down. It's like everybody now, especially in the West, is like, this is our chance. This is our chance. We got one season. Let's try to max out, cash in, and see if we can win a championship. I don't know. Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert, and whatever else they try to do. Like, that's nice, but that doesn't strike me, Channing, as a team that's suddenly going to be a contender.
It can't contend with the Golden State Warriors at full power, but can it contend with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Can it contend? That's what you hit it on the head in the West. And right now, the class of the West is crazy to me. We got a bunch of guys coming on to ask them about it. Are the Lakers? And all we know who's going to be there is LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kuzma. You have 12 other spots to fill.
Right.
But with those two top guys, they've become, and all the Vegas sports books, they have them as the favorite to win the championship next year because AD and LeBron. But it seems like the Western Conference teams are saying, you know what? We don't believe that. Let's load up, because those two guys together, they're not the Golden State Warriors. The Houston Rockets with CP3 and James Harden, y'all have been to, especially 2 years ago before CP3 hurt his hamstring.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they would have beat the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago to go to the finals. This is y'all's chance. Now y'all want to argue about you're playing ISO, you can't dribble well enough. This is the time to take advantage of the West, and you see the teams trying to capitalize on it.
You do. And so now the Utah Jazz have jumped into this. And again, we'll talk to Dan Feldman's going to join us next segment from ProBasketballTalk.com. We'll see what he thinks about this revamped look of the Utah Jazz. And you brought up this Chris Paul, James Harden thing. I mean, Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports had his report, and I'll read a few snippets from that because I think it's actually quite entertaining when you hear the way he describes the relationship. But he did that, and the big takeaway from it is that Chris Paul wants out, right? He wants to be traded. And so then last night, Zach Lowe from ESPN tweeted this: just spoke to Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the Rockets. He reiterated there has been no trade demand from Chris Paul. Quote, tweet that I said that, print it, tweet it twice, end quote. So Daryl Morey's going on record saying that this hasn't happened. Now, with that being said, the report, some of the juicier details from this report are that this is an unsalvageable relationship. They want a divorce. Paul went to Rockets management and demanded a trade, and Harden issued a him-or-me edict following the Rockets' second-round loss to the Golden State Warriors. The backcourt mates went nearly 2 months without speaking to each other during the season, creating a tenuous environment for teammates and everyone involved with the franchise. Harden hasn't returned Paul's repeated attempts at communicating this offseason, sources said, after a year in which the pair repeatedly got under each other's skin with pretty petty acts and practices and games. And it goes on to say, from a source, there's no respect at all on either side. They need to get away from one another. Chris doesn't respect James standing in the league, and James doesn't respect the work Chris has put into this point, end quote. So with that being said, Stephen A. Smith pops on TV today and says, I spoke directly to Chris Paul. And yeah, it took a little while for him to get in touch with James Harden, but they have spoken. So, like, this is all over the place, Channing. Like, I mean, I understand that there's a possibility that this we may sweep this under the rug and they may move forward. But, like, something's amiss here, right? Like, you can't have all of these different angles and all this stuff popping up. Like, the old cliche, where there's smoke, there's fire. Something's going on here, right?
Oh, there has to be something going on. And this is the other thing, too. We were talking about this a couple days ago with O.J. Simpson. and Bill Cosby on Twitter. And just, y'all understand that women lie, men lie, no numbers don't lie. Why would Chris Paul tell Stephen A. Smith or anybody else what the conversation he had with Rocket Management? It doesn't make any sense. That's the thing. Think about this. Oh, this is these are our reports. Oh, Chris Paul said it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Chris Paul, who is he? Chris Paul, is he a saint? Is he healing people out? You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Paul would come out, and it's not advantageous for him or the team, obviously, because his trade value would go down. But it's not, if that report leaked, Chris Paul needs to come back and say, no, it didn't happen. Because now the business side of it needs to work. You need to go the back channels with the Rockets trying to find a trade, you know, a team that's willing to trade for Chris Paul. People lie, and I think Chris Paul's number lying. You could see it. There's a bunch of memes out. People have all the videos. Chris Paul and James Harden, they don't get along. I've seen videos of it, but even just basketball philosophy of it. Think about it. Chris Paul's a facilitating point guard. James Harden's an ISO guy, an ISO shooting guard. Does a point guard that wants the ball, that wants to dish it off, that wants to do back picks on the baseline when I'm driving and I know exactly where my dump-off guys are, do they want to play with a guy that needs the ball for 20 seconds to get open to get a shot? It just doesn't. Like, I watched Chris Paul with the Clippers. He is not the same Chris Paul now. He is not this. He doesn't have the same responsibilities. It's a different type game when you play with Harden. And that will eat you up. And we even talked about it yesterday. If they won a championship since they've been together, this never happens, Greg.
Very true, right?
Because it's working.
That masks everything.
When you get knocked out by the same exact team 2 years in a row, Chris Paul has an argument to James Harden. James, you can score 50 any night. James, I understand you're an MVP candidate. James, we're losing every time we face the Golden State Warriors. Why? It doesn't work. So Chris Paul has an argument, and James has an argument. Chris, you're not scoring what I score. I carry this team on my back. Leave me alone, you little short bastard. Go sit down. I can see both sides of it, but I can see how those two sides could not talk to each other for 2 months. And think about that. Think about these young. Think about all this. Think about Capella and all those guys. Chris Paul and James Harden aren't speaking to each other. What kind of team camaraderie is that?
Crowder's right. But what you said about his trade value going down, it's tough for me to see any way Chris Paul can go about this and make himself a worse trade asset. That dude is going to be 37 years old, making $42 million. Still has 3 years left on his contract. I don't think Chris Paul can do anything right in this situation, because no matter what he does, whether he comes out, he says, oh no, me and Harden are still boys, whatever he does, it's not going to worsen his trade value. Nobody wants that guy at 37 years old, $42 million. Nobody wants that guy.
If I want to steal someone's wife, if I was single and I know she's unhappy with the marriage, it's easier for me to steal her. You see what I'm saying? Where a team's not going to come in and give up everything. No, why would we give you a first rounder? Chris wants to leave anyway. So Chris Paul says, I didn't want to leave. So now he's helped. I don't know if he's helping the Rockets, but if you know a player is actively trying to move, it does take your offer down a little bit. I'm not going to give you everything that you want because this guy's going to move anyway. If it's not us, it's somebody else. Let me lowball. I would say that. If you know that Chris Paul's upset, other teams will lowball for him because he wants to move anyway.
It's going to be fascinating to see if they mend the fences here, right? Because I would love to see cooler heads prevail, and then they get Harden and Paul in a room together and say, hey, listen, the whole reason, to the point you're making, Channing, that we're all upset at each other is because we can't beat the Warriors. Now the Warriors don't exist in the same form that we couldn't win against, so why don't we put all this BS aside, come back together, make one final run, and then if it doesn't work out, we can have this conversation again next year.
And it seems like this will be the year to do it.
It would be.
But, bro, egos are something else.
They certainly are.
Not just in sports. Everybody. Everybody has that ego.
And Chris Paul has had this reputation at all of his stops.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, James Harden carried that team post-All-Star break to the best record in the league post-All-Star break, and Chris Paul was hurt for most of that time. And he was putting up all these monster numbers, all this other stuff, and so then I'm sure Chris Paul comes back and is like, all right, let's get back to the way things were, and James Harden's like, no, man, I dribble for 23 seconds. You just stay out of the way. You and Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker with a shoe collection, hang out in the corner, and Clint Capella, yeah, maybe I'll throw you a lob every once in a while, right? That's how it goes.
And that's the team. And I think that Chris Paul, Solana made a great point, at 37 years old, he's the one that has to give a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's the one that needs to let go. We understand what you were 10 years ago. You're not that anymore, Chris. Let go and try to go and beat this Warriors-less West. And this is your chance to take over the West with the Warriors having two of their top players, not knowing if they're, you know, if they're signing back up. But reports are they might to get their money and then go into free agency the following year. This is your chance. Chris Paul, you got to let the reins go. If I could talk to him, I'd say, bro, sit down, drink a beer. Bro, let go a little bit. Let Harden run this team. You know what I'm saying? Let Harden run this team, bro. Try to get you a ring in the West. You got to beat the Lakers now, but it will be easier than that Golden State Warriors super team.
Could we get that as part of like a reality show? I know you're no stranger to the reality show programming. Maybe that could be the next thing. Channing talks some sense into Chris Paul.
But the thing is, the reality show I was on, I was the biggest, physically just the biggest guy on it, so I knew nobody would say nothing crazy to me. Chris Paul would talk nasty to me. And then he's going to have to call his insurance advisor, the guy that comes when his house gets hit by a tree, because I'll dive on him.
Is that guy come or does the robot come?
Who is the robot that cries, the right. Squirting tears. Either one of them going to have to come if Chris Paul would say something nasty to me on that reality show.
Oh, man. Hey, Channing, we got so much to get
was
into.
Was it Allstate? State Farm?
State Farm.
Yeah. Him and Oscar from The Office.
Yes.
I dive on Oscar's ass, too.
And James Harden, who... you know, blew up the microwave, but then claimed it wasn't him, right?
Yeah, yes.
That whole thing.
Call all of them.
Yes. All right, we got a lot to get into in terms of the NBA. We're going to talk all of these different topics with Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com. That's next here on QAM. Radio.com. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens sitting alongside Channing Crowder in for Mark Hochman. Hope everybody is doing well on this Wednesday. So much going on in the National Basketball Association, and we haven't even hit free agency yet. But for more on that, we're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan as we welcome in Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Dan, appreciate you taking the time today. How's everything going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, Dan, and so much going on. I suppose we should start with the news of this afternoon that Mike Conley has been traded to the Utah Jazz. What do you make of this deal for both Utah's side and Memphis's side?
I think it's a good trade for both teams. As soon as the Grizzlies got the number two pick in the lottery, where Ja Morant is the clear pick, it became obvious that Mike Conley's future in Memphis was running out. Conley can still play. He's a real good player. He'll help a Jazz team that's ready to win now. For the Grizzlies to get two first-round picks, I think that's nice value. I also think the players going back to Memphis could contribute in some ways. Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, Jay Crowder. I'm very curious what the Grizzlies' plan is for those three players. If the Grizzlies aren't ready to win now, what are they going to do with Korver? What are they going to do with Crowder, who are veterans? Do they see a long-term future for Grayson Allen? How the Grizzlies handle that trio is really going to swing how good this is for Memphis. But I think getting two first-round picks is good. And for the Jazz, getting a real good player at a time when the team is ready to compete, this is a huge boost. And I think Donovan Mitchell especially will feel it, having a backcourt mate who is a good shooter, unlike Ricky Rubio.
And Dan, with the Clay and KD injury, I know their free agency changes, those two isolated injured players, but what about the West? Like, do the Western teams now, you know, do they smell blood in the water where, hey, Golden State's not going to be what they are? This is our chance to maximize.
Absolutely. And I wish more teams felt that way earlier, because I never thought the Warriors' run was as inevitable as everybody made it out to be. The Rockets were really the one team in the West before this year to really seriously challenge, maybe even including this year, to really seriously challenge Golden State and to go after it. And the Rockets pushed Golden State last year to Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. Other teams could have gone for it more. They didn't. But now, yes, with those injuries, absolutely, teams are lining up as next year could be the year. And I think that had something to do with the Utah trade. But they also targeted Conley before the trade deadline. I think they're looking to upgrade and grow from where they are now anyway. But, yeah, maybe this adds a sense of urgency in Utah, but definitely on down the line.
Dan Feldman from ProBasketballTalk.com joining us here on 560 WQAM. All right, you brought up the Rockets. They've been very close, as you pointed out accurately there, to pushing this Warriors team when it was at full strength. So with all of the rumblings about turmoil in Houston, do you think that they can bring this group back together for another run, or is this inevitably going to fall apart because of at least Chris Paul and James Harden reportedly not getting along?
I'm not sure what choice they have but to bring it back. I mean, James Harden is the franchise player. I can't imagine them moving him. Chris Paul's contract is so large that if you trade him, you're going to get such a lesser player, it's probably not worth it. Their best bet is probably to maybe tinker on the margins depending on what's available, but keep Paul, keep Harden, and hope that they can work it out. This is, in a matter of degrees, something every really good team deals with, at least almost every really good team, where you have multiple stars who need to give and take a little bit. They have to bend their games to complement each other. There are going to be some diminishing returns, but the only way to have enough talent to win a championship is to deal with those types of problems. And so maybe Chris Paul and James Harden work it out. Maybe they don't, but taking a talent downgrade probably takes you out of the championship chase, and that's not worth it either.
And then the reports of Jimmy Butler now. They said the Rockets are pursuing Jimmy Butler. Is that with CP3 and James Harden and Butler added, or are they anticipating CP3 moves?
Yeah, that's a – Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, is very good, and there are some creative ways that he could get Jimmy Butler, especially if the 76ers are amenable to some type of sign and trade. But the Rockets are so capped out, they're not going to clear the cap space to get Jimmy Butler. They need to get the 76ers on board for a sign and trade, or maybe there's some way they could make other trades to clear the space, but that seems really unlikely. I would say Jimmy Butler to Houston is possible. It might be something everybody wants, but actually making it happen and getting that money available without depleting the rest of the roster will be very difficult. Like, if you have to get rid of PJ Tucker, who's an important player, Clint Capella, who's an important player, Eric Gordon, who's an important player, get rid of everybody else and add Jimmy Butler. Yes, Jimmy Butler is nice to have, but at a certain point, it's not worth the cost.
Dan Feldman joining us here from ProBasketballTalk.com on 560 WQAM. While we're on the topic of Jimmy Butler, there was a rumor and a report that emerged over the weekend that he would be interested in at least talking with the Heat during his free agency period here. I'd ask you this, Dan, because Heat fans automatically get excited at any possibility, especially during an offseason in which you're thought to not have any room because of their salary cap situation. But is there any way you could envision Miami making this work? And do you think Jimmy Butler has legitimate interest in the Miami Heat?
It might be a similar situation to Houston, where, yes, there's legitimate interest in the franchise, but figuring out how to open that cap space is even more difficult with Miami. We've seen the Heat in the past talk to free agents and try and pitch them on, well, why don't you sign a one-year contract because we'll have money the next year? And the Heat can open up a lot of space in 2020. So maybe this is, from Miami's standpoint, about trying to convince Jimmy Butler, sign a one-year deal somewhere. If you like it, you'll stay there. If you don't, we will be there for you in a year. And I think that's a tough sell with Jimmy Butler, given his age, given his injury history, given his mileage, especially playing for Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. I think Jimmy Butler is probably somebody who's going to look to lock in long-term while he's still a star.
And Dan, speaking about the Miami Heat, with there's differing reports, but one, I know, I feel personally, Hassan Whiteside is not giving up this $28-something million he's going to get. So he's going to opt in, but there are reports saying that he wants to request the trade. Is anybody calling Pat Riley about Hassan Whiteside, or is Riley calling other people about Hassan Whiteside?
Oh, he's absolutely calling other people. No, there's not a real clamoring for Hassan Whiteside. I think Hassan Whiteside can still contribute to teams, and maybe you can trade him for other bad salary. There are other players on bad contracts, and sometimes you just shuffle them around and give everybody a change of scenery. The trouble with dealing Hassan Whiteside is the way the NBA has changed. Everybody who used to be a center is still a center. Everybody who used to be a power forward / center is a center. A lot of guys who used to be pure power forwards are now centers. There are even some guys who used to be combo forwards who are now centers, the way the game has gone. So the league is just overstuffed with centers. Nobody needs a center, which makes it really hard to move somebody like Whiteside.
It certainly does. And Dan, we're looking at the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics have long thought to be, you know, in prime position to add a major talent like an Anthony Davis or, heck, even a Kawhi Leonard last year because of all the draft capital and young players they have. And all of a sudden, it's like Kyrie Irving's not going to come back. Al Horford's not going to come back. They didn't get any of those other big free agents. So what is the current state of the Boston Celtics as you see it?
They're still in okay shape. I mean, they were so far ahead, at least it looked like, going into the season, not necessarily in terms of current team quality, but the combination of current team and future assets. yeah, they're probably going to lose Kyrie Irving. Yeah, they're probably going to lose Al Horford. But they still have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which is a real nice start into whatever this next era is. If they want to remain competitive in the short term, they've got Marcus Smart. Gordon Hayward maybe comes back from his injury. There's still talent on this roster. They are well coached to be good immediately. And then they have extra future first-round picks. They've got three picks in tomorrow's draft. They have this potentially very valuable pick from the Grizzlies that's fairly lightly protected in the years to come. So they can still do things. They're still flexible. They can still be solid in the short term. But when you lose guys like Kyrie Irving, like Al Horford, that probably takes you out of championship contention level right away. You'll have to build back up to be even on the fringes of that.
And Dan, we're trying to ask you to be a psychiatrist right now because with CP3 and Harden and them, but why does Kyrie, him and LeBron had problems now? You know, the report I read last night where he's not even speaking to the Celtics management or his teammates. Like, what's up with Kyrie? Why does he rub everybody the wrong way?
I'm sure that you've had guys in the locker room who are just different. He has his own way of thinking and viewing things and is not always the easiest guy to get along with. People put up with it because he's such a talented player, and that's the exchange you make. I also think this year there was a very specific problem in that Kyrie Irving decided, I want to be a team leader. Like, I saw LeBron do it. It's my turn. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to connect with players. He didn't know how to motivate them. And it went bad, and he alienated young players, and there was tension, and they had to work through it. I think Kyrie Irving, to his credit, admitted, oh, wow, leading a team is way harder than I thought. Like, maybe there's a lot I need to learn. He even apologized to LeBron James for not being a better follower, because I think he realized that LeBron was trying his best to lead. Maybe as a follower, Kyrie didn't always like it, but he can respect that, wow, leading is hard, and if LeBron was trying, like, I should have given him more credit for that. And maybe there was a subtext of, I wish my young teammates gave me more credit for trying. What I'm curious about, as it looks like he's going to the Nets, does he feel like, okay, I got another shot at leading a team. It's a fresh start with a new group of young guys. Or does he think, nah, this leading a team, it's not cut out for me, which I wouldn't knock him for. It's not for everybody. And maybe he feels like he needs a different team leader in Brooklyn. To me, that's a big question, especially with the Nets having enough cap space for a second star. Are they going to try and get somebody to be ahead of Irving on the pecking order, or is it going to be Irving's team once again, and maybe he'll just have to try to do it better?
Dan Feldman, ProBasketballTalk.com, joining us here on 560 WQAM. All very good questions there, because you're right. Who knows what's going to happen with Kyrie in this next chapter of his career. You mentioned LeBron James' relationship with him. The Lakers obviously have landed Anthony Davis, although it's like that was the big deal over the weekend. Now we're a few days later, and it's like old news again, the way things move so quickly in the NBA. But with that in mind, what else do you see the Lakers doing? The reports today are that they're trying now to open up more cap space to add a third max player. Would they be better off doing that in your mind, Dan, or would they be better off maybe having a more balanced roster with some other role players?
It depends who that max level player is, but in general, I think they're better off going after the star, especially because they're in Los Angeles, and maybe you can get some decent role players to take a discount, to come for the room exception, to come for the minimum, to come cheap to try and win a title with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and a third star. Maybe that third star could be Kyrie Irving, right? Maybe you could sell him on that. Maybe it's Kemba Walker. I feel like there are players out there who could help them. And if they don't get that third star, yes, in theory, you could say they should build out with role players, and there'd be some logic to that. I also don't trust this Lakers management to identify those right role players. Yes, Magic Johnson's gone, but it's still Rob Pelinka, and I don't know who is exactly responsible for which players last year, but this is at least somewhat the same front office that went out and got Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee, like Lance Stevenson. I don't trust them to figure out the role players. At least the star, you know he's good.
And Dan, I'm not trying to line you up to upset Miami Heat fans. It's just a question because I've been thinking about it. Will Anthony Davis be the best player that LeBron James has played with since he started his NBA career? I don't want to line you up, bro. I don't want to line you up. I have to ask.
Don't do it, Dan.
I think it is more likely than not the answer is yes, that Davis will be. Now, I just want to be very clear on this. This is only as LeBron's teammate. Dwayne Wade's best years were before LeBron came. I don't think Anthony Davis will match Dwayne Wade's career, and Dwayne Wade was very good. It's a high bar, but Davis being younger and maybe even a better fit with LeBron, Dwayne Wade really had to take a backseat to LeBron to make it work. Dwayne Wade couldn't be this great player anymore to make the team work. Dwayne Wade, to all his credit, realized, I need to take a step back, not be as good myself, so that LeBron can shine. That's going to be best for the team. Dwayne Wade was still excellent. It is still a very high bar. He was a star. Anthony Davis can maybe, while playing with LeBron, while being set up by LeBron, be a superstar. And I don't think Dwayne Wade was quite on that level in the years LeBron was in Miami. Dwayne Wade was a superstar before LeBron arrived. I'm not sure he still was while playing with LeBron.
Man, yeah, that, you know what, Dan, regardless, Channing did set you up. I mean, you did a nice job of handling that well, but he set you up.
Greg, I agree with Dan. He got a younger AD. Wade was older. I agree with everything Dan said. I just needed him to say it so that I can, you know, roll it out for the next 3.5 hours and have somebody backing me up.
Now you got a little cover.
That's all I need.
There it is. Hey, Dan, we really appreciate the time. Of course, I encourage everybody to read your work, probasketballtalk.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Feldman, MBA. And Dan, it's going to be a busy next few weeks for you, as it is for everybody who covers the NBA. So we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is, Dan Feldman. Again, probasketballtalk.com. There you go. Yeah, you did kind of set him up there for failure, just, potentially.
I've been thinking about it, man. Just when you see it, I know we love Dwayne Wade. I have a Wade jersey. I have like 4 NBA jerseys. Wade's one of them. But.
No buts.
But?
No buts.
Well,
puppy Anthony Davis?
Wait, come on.
A lot of this is the semantics involved, right, and how you frame it. So Mark Stein's tweet got everybody fired up, including myself, saying that the best teammate. I would make the argument, if we're just going it based on teammate, that Dwayne Wade, as a teammate, did what he needed to do. He was selfless, backed off in terms of his role as being the mayor of Wade County, and said, LeBron, I'm handing the reins over to you. You could argue that he will never have a teammate that was so selfless for the betterment of the team. And also, if you're talking about who's more accomplished entering their tandem, certainly Dwayne Wade wins that in a landslide. But my question now with Anthony Davis is whether he can stay healthy. Yes. Because, you know, he's missed 110 games in his 7 regular seasons up to this point. It's only been 2 postseasons. And Dwayne Wade proved that he could elevate the play of those around him. Anthony Davis, to me, has not proven that. So, I mean, you can say all you want, Channing, but I don't hear you backing much up, except for he's a puppy because he's 26 years old.
He's young. He's gigantic. He can shoot from the outside. Another thing, too, and I know, Greg, I think we've talked about this before, the Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, taking a back seat to a guy, I don't give players credit for that. Mm. Like, I'm going to take – just think about this. Oh, yeah, I'll take less shots. I'll be less effective because he's here. I can't give a player credit for that. That's why I've had the Bosh argument forever where he took the third seat. No. He had to take the damn third seat. Don't give him credit for sitting in the back seat because mommy and daddy are up front. LeBron was daddy. Wade was mommy. Chris Bosh had to sit in the puppy seat in the back seat. Don't give him credit because there's nobody up front. We don't have bench chairs anymore, Greg.
This guy took out D. Wade and Chris Bosh in a matter of 3 minutes.
I didn't take out D. Wade. I take out Chris Bosh all day long. But I didn't take out – I just – at the end of it, we'll see who's the better teammate.
Okay. Time will tell. That's for sure. All right. We're going to come back with much more. Stay tuned here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're back here on 560 WQAM. A very good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Greg Lykin sitting in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder. Alex Lon on the other side of the glass. Hope everybody's doing well. You know, we got some texts early in the show here, Channing. 560-22, Kendall Toyota West, Kendall Toyota text line. People, of course, speculating about Hawk not being here. He'll be back tomorrow. So it's just, yeah, he's just not here today. But some people are saying, oh, did he go back to hang out with the New York Jets? I guess that was the theme last time I was with you, because the old Adam Gase thing. That's been a little while. But, man, people have good memories. Yeah. That's for sure.
He's just sickly a little bit, man. You know, recently found out he's going blind. He had to get glasses.
I saw the glasses, yeah.
Yeah, man. I think his little body's breaking down. He's only be 50 this year.
Man, you really get on him about his age, huh?
Yeah. He's old, man. Man, old man, he can't beat age. Father Time's undefeated.
Ancient.
Yeah. Father Time took my football career away. It's going to happen, man. So it gets up with you every day.
So you think that Father Time taking your football career away is comparable to Mark Hochman's radio career? Or just in general, his lifestyle?
Lifestyle.
Okay.
Because, Ray, you can do radio way old as hell. You can do radio. He can do TV too, as we see, but I won't bring up any names. But yeah, age doesn't mess with the media, man. It just messes with your body. You don't feel slower, man? How old are you, Greg?
35.
Oh, yeah, we're the same age. You just don't feel like
Well, I'm sure you can speak to this as well, but if the last 2 days, not today, but I worked out. And so then this morning when I got out of bed, you could feel it, right? My body's sore, which, you know, it wouldn't happen 10 years ago.
That's what happens, man. Yeah. Father Time is undefeated. That's what I try to tell everybody. But yeah, Father Time hates Hawk, though. Oh, Father Time lives with Hawk. I think he has an extra room in Hawk's house. He hangs out with Hawk a lot.
Okay. So you're saying he acts older than he really is?
Yeah, it looks, too.
Okay. Well, I have to say, that's quite the contrast, because then you got Solana, who is really young, but then tries to play it off as if he's getting old.
Yeah. And he doesn't know. He's one of those millennial kids.
He seems a little out of touch with reality.
I mean, I turned 25. Pretty old, man.
My goodness.
He's half Hawk's age,
man. I'm telling you, a puppy.
Still look great, though. Right, Chan?
You hit puberty yet? You got facial hair?
I know you like this man bun.
Can you make a baby?
He does have the facial hair. But what do you think of the man bun, though? It's not, looks
what
looks
do you call
like,
it?
He's working on a man bun.
No, bitch fluff. That's what we've named it on the show. That's his
okay.
bitch fluff. I hadn't
heard that before.
Because a bun has to double underneath the rubber band. That's what makes it a ponytail goes through the rubber band once. A bun wraps, doubles back around, and hits the rubber band twice. That little fluff can't hit the rubber band twice.
Mm.
So we've deemed it bitch fluff.
Okay. I'd never heard that term before.
He loves it.
I can, you know, I'm not sure. He looks a little undecided about that, or angry, depending on which one you want to use.
You better not be angry.
Speaking of angry.
What are you going to do?
You have angered people via the text line.
I know.
Which you knew was going to happen.
Yes.
You want
yes.
a sampling of this?
What they got?
Okay. So one of our first texters, after you dropped the Dwayne Wade and Anthony Davis comparison to the teammates, the LeBron James, somebody says, D. Wade was going to be the finals MVP if LeBron doesn't choke in season one of the Big Three. Channing, I love you, but you and that guy, Dan Feldman, can go to hell if you think AD is better.
No. And Dan said it right, and I'm saying it. And texter, I love you too. I'll give the love back at the end of it all. Like, you're telling me there's no chance that the 7-foot Anthony Davis that has an outside shot, that can dribble, that can take people off the dribble, there's no chance that at the end of it all, Dwayne Wade's retired. He's not Brett Favre-ing it. There's no chance. This is what y'all telling me. There's no chance in NBA nothing that Anthony Davis ends up with a better career or a better run with LeBron than Dwayne Wade did.
Here's my distinction, because I will not argue that certainly there's a chance. Anything is possible. But my distinction here is that because this all started with Mark Stein, right?
Yes.
Mark Stein with this tweet, which I don't know if he was doing this to get attention or if he just really felt it and put it out there. And then, of course, everybody in Miami took exception to it. So it was effective either way. He's getting a lot of attention for it. But when he said that Anthony Davis is the best teammate that LeBron has ever had, it's like, well, my distinction is we don't know that yet. He has the potential to be the best teammate. And if you phrase it that way, I'm perfectly fine with it. But as of right now, like, you can't top Dwayne Wade. Like, currently. Now, to your point, which I think is we agree on this, is that Anthony Davis possibly could be the best teammate. We'll look back and say, man, yeah, AD really put a couple of years onto LeBron's career. And, like, LeBron's, we call it his peak years or being in his prime, it was extended a little bit because of Anthony Davis's presence.
And everybody, and we talked about, I think last segment, or we talked about it before, where everybody's like, what has Anthony Davis done? What has Anthony Davis, who has he made better? Have you ever seen Anthony Davis play with a LeBron James or a player of that caliber? Where Anthony Davis is carrying these teams at 6'10", 240 pounds, and like I say, can go inside, outside, all that stuff. But to watch him play with LeBron, to watch him get into a system where he has another all-star with him, I've never seen Anthony Davis play with that guy. Who's the best? Chris Paul was out there with him, right? Were they together?
No,
Drew Holiday is probably the best player he's...
Well, you could argue for a very small stretch, it would be Boogie Cousins, right?
Right.
But... yeah,
but a big man, so he's 7 foot, you got a 7-footer, so a 4 and a 5, are they really going to create something? You have a guy like LeBron that can play 1 through 5. He doesn't have to play 1 through 5 now with AD. But now what is that? Everybody's saying what LeBron's going to do. I mean, what AD is going to help LeBron. What is LeBron going to do for AD? What's LeBron going to do for his career? How is LeBron going to open up for him? You can't double-team AD. When AD's out there with Drew Holiday, they can put all the attention on AD. Double-team AD and see what LeBron's going to do. He's going to destroy you. That's the thing I'm saying. And at 26 years old still, Anthony Davis hasn't even – he ain't even coming to his own yet. In the end, I'm not saying right now. Right now, Dwayne Wade has a better career. He's retired. Right now, more championships, finals MVP. Well, hell, more championships. AD didn't have any championships. More all-star appearances. I know the numbers. I'm talking about at the end. When it's all said and done, there's no chance. And Miami Heat, I love the Heat, too. I have a Wade jersey. There is a chance that Anthony Davis's career is better or just as good as Dwayne Wade's, and we have to let the Heat bias out of our mind and understand Anthony Davis is a hell of a player, and he's younger now with LeBron than Dwayne Wade was when he got with LeBron.
Okay. I want to read – let me go rapid fire here, some of these text messages, just so you get a feel for this. Somebody says, using the car logic, because you were describing the car with the parents up front and the kids in the back.
Set your ass in the back.
Was Channing even allowed in the car when he was on the Dolphins? See, that's not nice. You were.
I was in a sidecar, the motorcycle.
But you were Pro Football Focus's top defender for the Dolphins.
And I appreciate that, Greg. How about this, jokester on the text line? Look at 2008 highest ranked defender on the playoff team. Boom.
Another one. I love all these texts that preface what they're about to say. Like they try to set you up to then really let you down. So say, I love Crowder, I really do, but he keeps pounding on Chris Bosh when the Heat probably would only have won championship if it weren't for Bosh's rebound and throw out to Ray Allen. What Crowder can see that Bosh is equivalent to Draymond Green and is under the radar exceptionalism. So there you go.
If Chris Bosh wasn't out there, they would have been playing with four. Somebody else would be in that position to get that rebound.
Possibly. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Chalmers would have grabbed that rebound.
it wasn't a tough rebound. Just go watch the play. Was he fighting for it, or did it bounce out there to the baseline and he flip it out for Ray Allen?
He had to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and that's what he was. He was at the right place at the right time for 4 years straight to be a part of the Big Three. That's the right place at the right time for Chris Bosh.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. Chris Bosh should have his jersey retired in Toronto. But down here, I believe we could have acquired another max player with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and won two championships out of four. I really do believe that.
Well, you got a lot of people disagreeing with you. I don't have time to read all these texts. Meanwhile, we got a bunch of people who are making fun of Hawk's age and then now Solana's haircut. So, and then somebody, there's one texter who texts me every single show that I do, regardless of what's going on, and then has this line and just puts in somebody else. And so the texter showed up today in the 2 o'clock hour, says, Likens has a bigger ego and self-importance than even that clown Chris Paul. So whoever the jerk of the moment is, they just put that at the end and then put me in the beginning of it. So
you got haters?
Hey, bring it on. And I always read it because I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to read the good, I'll read the bad as well. So.
Greg, it is a rule. If nobody's hating on you, you're not doing something right.
Very true.
Because everybody successful gets hated on. Yes. Me and Chris Bosh.
There you go.
Everybody successful gets hated on. If you have no haters, you're not that successful.
I will agree wholeheartedly, especially when you put it in those terms. All right, we got a lot to get into coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, including this. I want to do something different here. There's a sports element to this as well, but I'm curious because this actually fits something we've talked about off the air a little bit. Is a sports-themed wedding a good idea? There's an NFL team that apparently thinks so. We'll explain that and get Channing's thoughts on that next here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.